Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. This is your host, Rick Stevens, and folks, remember that this is your show. If there are questions you would like to have answered, if there is a topic you want to hear a little bit more about on a future Money Matters episode, feel free to give me a call, 719-500-8700. You can also send me an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com, or simply go to our website, frsfinancialgroup.com. There's a contact tab up in that top right-hand corner. You can click on that. Send us that question. Send us that topic you'd like to know a little bit more about, because, folks, we would absolutely love to hear from you. Well, folks, this week on Money Matters, we are joined in the studio by my co-host, Dan Cashel. Dan, it's starting to get summertime out there a little bit.
And the boys of summer are back in full swing, and the Rockies haven't started. Well, they started, but they feel like they haven't really started.
Well, I got to tell you, I was out there for opening day a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh. And got to see the walk-off grand slam, and yeah, it's been pretty much downhill since then.
Downhill. And they're on pace to break their own record last year for losses.
Hey, nothing like setting records, yeah, just not those.
Right. Maybe the team bus needs to get some hauling, you know, get the bus in there, get the haul equipment, get some new equipment in there, and start, you know, turning things around.
And I got just the guy for him.
Okay.
To do that sort of stuff. Joining us this week in studio, Greg Budwine with the folks over at Leadham's, where they are everything truck, whether that's on the repair side, whether that's on the equipment side, whatever the case may be. Budwine, welcome back in.
Thanks for having us. As always, Leadham's is here.
Awesome. Well, folks, we do have to make the SEC and FINRA happy by saying that FRS Financial and LPL Financial do not endorse the guests that appear on Money Matters, but I'll also be honest with them, Budwine. I had my stuff in there Monday and Tuesday this week.
Yes, sir, and we appreciate it very much.
Awesome. Now, I know oftentimes when you're in here, we talk all kinds of different repair things and how to take care of your car and, you know, changing this and adjusting that and do you need this or not. But today I want to go a little bit different.
Okay.
Because Leadham's isn't just repair, is it?
No, we are not.
You guys do, as the way I hear it, everything truck.
We do everything truck, yes, sir.
And that includes all the different kinds of equipment you can put on a vehicle. So I want to spend a lot of today in that equipment side of things. And we might hit a little repair, a little, you know, get stuff ready for summer here or there sort of thing. But I want to start and kind of stick a lot in that equipment side. We good with that today?
I'm good with that. Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to start with one of those things that I'll just say confuses me often.
Okay.
And that's, as I drive around town, I see hitches on everything. I see them on cars. I see them on minivans. I see them on, you know, the crossover SUVs. I actually saw the other day, running through probably Facebook, a video of a BMW, not like an SUV. I'm talking car. BMW. Mm-hmm. With a hitch, with a car trailer behind it, and it had a Suburban that was horrifically loaded. The weight was all the way at the back. And when we've got the weight all the way at the back of the trailer, that trailer starts going multiple directions and wrecked both the Suburban and the BMW and a couple, yes, of other cars in there. Just because you can put a hitch on something doesn't mean you should, does it?
That's probably why we're everything truck. Let's start there. Hitches belong on trucks, not on cars.
Awesome. Now, for you guys will do not just the hitches, but you also do for folks that, you know, maybe have those larger campers. You guys take care of fifth wheels and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, the cool part about Leadhams is we are everything truck. On the radio, it's hard to describe, but you obviously have a bumper pull hitch, you have a gooseneck hitch, and you also have a fifth wheel hitch that can be in the back of a pickup or behind a semi. So most people know them as kingpin pullers. They're also known as fifth wheels. Goosenecks generally are on horse trailers, some minor RVs, but mostly horse trailers. And bumper pulls pull all kinds of stuff. They pull utility trailers. They pull motorcycle trailers. They pull all kinds of different stuff on the bumper. So the key is we're everything truck, and to have the right equipment and the right hitch today is very important. You've probably also noticed while you're driving around, RVs have become a lot bigger.
Yes.
And they're a lot heavier. They have more slides in them. Even bumper pull RVs now. I've seen one with four slides on it that's 28 foot
Ooh.
Long. And so you have to be really careful when you're buying those trailers, what's going to be pulling those trailers. And that's the important part, because like you said with the Suburban, it's very easy to get the tail wagging the dog in that scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely in there. I have actually seen already this year, and I know not a lot of folks are actually headed out necessarily in that, you know, camping part of the season yet. That's usually a few more weeks away. But I have already seen one of those big campers pulling a boat behind it.
Yes.
So that's you know, my ballpark guess, 55 feet of vehicle or more that you got to be aware of.
Yep.
And unlike driving a semi, it doesn't take a special license to drive that.
No, it does not. Because the key is that's the other big problem. If there's a problem, or I guess I could call it an issue, is unless you're doing something commercially, you can pretty much tow however you want to. So the whole game changes when you're not commercial and you do not need a CDL and it's not required. When you're doing it for fun, you can pretty much do whatever you want. So you have to be careful.
And that can definitely be scary. I actually heard a comedian once say, talking about folks in the retiree side of life, whose reflexes may not be there and whose eyesight might be going a little bit. Well, let's put them in the biggest vehicle they've ever driven.
With air brakes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
We got the hitches, we got the pulling, because people are pulling all kinds of different things these days. But that's not the only truck equipment that you guys do.
Oh, no.
So what are some of those, maybe we'll call them the things that folks come to you guys at Leadhams for the most often?
So the biggest thing is what we call equipment. And equipment ranges from flatbeds to utility bodies, ladder racks, toolboxes, utility bodies, anything pretty much that you can go to work in that goes on the back of the truck. And at Leadhams, we just call it equipment. There's a lot of equipment, but we do service, repair, and install new lift gates, which has become a big portion of our business. And we put lift gates on all the way from a pickup all the way to a semi or box truck.
Wow.
So we put some pretty big lift gates on. And that generally ranges from 1,200 pounds to 4,500 pounds. So some of those lift gates are pretty big.
So what you're telling me is if I put a lift gate on the back of my pickup, I should be okay with the groceries each week.
You should be okay with the groceries. The lift gate will get it for you, no problem. Yes, that's a big part of our business. We also do ladder racks for roofers. We also do installs. We call them transit vans. Those are the vans that you see mostly that HVAC guys use, plumbers use. All of their tools and equipment and all their little parts are inside the van, and they have compartments for that. We're also very proud that we build our own flatbed line. So we manufacture our own flatbeds. It's our GL line. People can look at those online at Leadhams.com. And we also just picked up a new vendor for us called Northstar. And they're providing us with some utility bodies and also flatbeds. So we have quite a quite a wide variety of stuff. And if it's equipment, we generally can do it. We've even, there's a customer we have here in town where we put a crane in the back of a van.
Wow.
So they can, their employees can move stuff into the van and not have to pick it up. So it's a little crane that swivels out the back door. And it's, if you can dream it, we can build it. If you need it fixed, we can fix it for you too. So it's a pretty cool deal.
That's pretty awesome. And if I remember correctly, somewhere in the last few years, you guys actually did a custom build for, I don't recall if it was El Paso County, if it was the city of Colorado Springs Police Department. But you guys did a custom build for some law enforcement folks as well.
We did, and it was a... We're fixing to do another one, and it was for the robots for the bomb squad, and it was a really challenging build, but it was something that turned out really nice, and it turned out nice enough we're going to do another one. So it's that whole setup in that truck was amazing, from the lights to all the electrical in the toolboxes that was run, and the sliding drawer so they could get to their robots was pretty amazing. Our crew did a really good job with that, and we got some great talent.
Awesome. Love to hear how you guys are working with the community there. One of the things that I know I have actually had my vehicles into the equipment shop for, you guys install things like running boards as well.
We do. Yeah, we do all kinds of accessories. Again, we're everything truck, right? which is pretty hard to explain in an elevator pitch in 30 seconds, but you know, vehicles have evolved, but we still put in brake controllers. We still put on running boards. We put the electric ones on that fold up. We put Nerf bars on. We do bed covers, toolboxes. And it doesn't matter if it's a pickup with a box. We can put a toolbox in there. We also do transfer flow fuel tanks. And those tanks are handy for especially excavators to fill their equipment. So we'll put those on some flatbeds. We've put them in pickup boxes. The accessories are endless. I mean, there's enough accessories. I can't even mention them all in this show.
So what you're telling me is, again, coming back to the, if you can kind of dream it.
If you're looking for something, I'm sure Leadums can hook you up.
I love that. Now, I'm going to kind of throw a little hypothetical out here.
Uh-oh.
It's not going to be a crazy one, though, but okay. It's just a little dream sort of a thing.
Okay.
So let's say I've got, you know, a pickup truck. It's, you know, 5-10 years old, but instead of the regular bed, I want to have a different bed put on. I want to, you know, take it from, you know, an everyday drive here or there, and I want to make it into a flatbed. What does that process kind of look like for you guys?
Depends on the truck. Most of the time, it's pretty seamless. It's a matter of taking the original factory, what we call original equipment or OEM bed off, and then we install flatbed. If we have to be careful now because as the newer vehicles we get, there's so much safety stuff on them now. Mm-hmm. We have to be really careful because they got so many cameras. So we're starting to run into, there's some trucks we absolutely can't put a flatbed on. Back in the old days, that was not true. If you had a truck, we could put a flatbed on it. So it depends on the vehicle, depends on the truck. But most of the time, if a customer's looking for a flatbed, we can get them hooked up. So we even helped a rancher and put a flatbed on it was a little 6-footer on a Toyota Tacoma.
Wow.
So that he could feed out of it. And we had to manufacture it to fit that truck. But we manufactured it and installed a flatbed on a Toyota Tacoma. So
very nice.
Yeah,
very cool.
It's really our guys are talented.
So let me ask this then. If I've got maybe one of those newer pickup trucks that has the 85 cameras, you know, on and around it, and that's not going to be something I can easily have a flatbed put on, do I have to go find a truck that we can do that with, or can you guys help me do that as well?
You know, the best thing to do is if you don't have a truck and you know what you want to do, come see us because we can help you through the process. Sometimes we can find the truck. Sometimes we can sell you the truck. What happens today a lot is there's a misnomer that you can buy a truck and put a flatbed on it, right? Or you can buy a truck and put a utility body on it, but they all measure different. Mm-hmm. And each manufacturer today has changed what we call the CA, which is the cab to axle measurement. That used to be pretty standard.
Right.
So if a guy was driving a pickup with an 8-foot box, we could put an 8-foot flatbed on it. Today, that's not true. Ford, Dodge, and Chevy, and Toyota have all now have 5.5-foot beds, 6.5-foot beds, 7-foot beds, and 8-foot beds. So you got to be pretty specific and know what you want to do with the truck. And as long as you know what you want to do, we can help you get to where you want to go. In most cases today, we're advising everyone to get some help in that process to make sure they get the right truck, number one. But also number two, there's some huge savings if you're going to put a flatbed on a truck. You can buy what they call a cabin chassis.
Mm-hmm.
And those trucks are prepared and prepackaged from the factories to put different equipment on the back. And it saves a lot of money. And it doesn't have all those cameras and all that stuff that we got to try to get around. It doesn't have all that. So
awesome. Now, if we are, whether that's we're going to buy that cabin chassis, or we've got, you know, an older truck that we're going to, you know, try to put that sort of flatbed on, is there a particular type that works better than another? Is, you know, the 3/4 ton or the 1 ton better than a 1/2 ton versus, you know, all of those different sizes and spring weights and all that fun stuff?
Well, just like we talked about, that's why we want to help, right? Because what we don't want is if you're using the truck, we don't want you to overload it. And all of those different ones that you just mentioned, a 1/2 ton, a 3/4 ton, a 1 ton, a 1.5 tons, all of those can carry different weight in the bed of the pickup. And so based on what you're hauling or what you're towing, you have to get the right vehicle for that. And it takes some homework. You got to make sure you're getting what you need.
Yeah, and it's not just about what the back end can hold. It's also going to be about what's pulling from the front too, right?
Well, I would caution everyone because everyone says, well, if I go get a diesel, it can pull everything. And that's true, but it can't haul or stop everything. So just because it's a 3500, you still have to be kind of negotiable and careful about what you're buying. These, just like we talked about, those trailers are getting bigger. They're getting taller. And I see a lot of short bed, single wheelbase pickups going down the road that have all the power in the world. But when they get up against it, the trailer's too much for the truck.
Yeah, it's the difference between being able to pull it on a nice flat stretch of interstate versus pulling it up and down the front range I'm not sure there's much flat through there.
Yeah, and especially in my big deal is especially in emergency situations, you have to have the ability and capability of the vehicle to stop everything that you're moving. And sometimes that means you're in too small of a truck.
Yep, for sure on that. So talked a little bit about, you know, kind of customizing our own pieces here. You know, when I was growing up, everybody had the cap on the back end of the truck, right? If they wanted to haul extra stuff, you put that little camper lid on it. You can do it that way. Today, more and more, we're seeing more of the bed covers, right? So we don't get that extra, you know, 2 feet or whatever of space up and above. Is there really a big difference between, obviously, other than the storage space, of what's useful in terms of, do I just want like the tonneau cover? Do I want the actual cap on the back end of it? Does it really make much difference?
Okay, so you just
and we've only got 37 minutes left.
Right. So you just made me go into physics class, which I never thought I'd ever use. I don't know if you know where most of the drag is in a pickup, but when you're driving a pickup down the road, most of the drag is right underneath the back window. So if you put a tonneau cover on a pickup, it gets a little bit better gas mileage.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a camper shell that's the same height as the cab, it almost doubles your fuel economy.
Wow.
So not only do you get more space, you also get more fuel economy because now there is essentially no drag because the air gets to go over the top of the cab, over the topper, and down underneath the truck. And the interesting part for me is we actually proved that in a physics class I was in almost 30 years ago, and we measured the drag of a tailgate because back then, this would have been in the 90s, we were all taking our tailgates off and putting nets on because it was cool.
Right.
Or we were we were
and
putting,
it's supposed to help gas mileage,
correct.
Right?
Or we'd put V gates in. Mm-hmm. A lot of people put V gates in, right? That does absolutely nothing to help fuel economy because the drag is behind the cab, not at the tailgate.
Yeah, and that's I'd had a we'll call it a lengthy conversation with some folks over the last couple of weeks. Mm. It may have been on social media. About the fuel efficiency of driving without a tailgate on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many people still believe that that makes it more fuel efficient.
It does not.
Yeah.
Because the wind going over the cab has nowhere to go except right behind the cab.
Right. Right. And I can distinctly recall actually a Mythbusters episode years ago where they actually put the truck in the wind tunnel so you could see everything and you could just see that vortex going through the bed.
Yep. That's
so
true.
Very, very cool stuff. I want to ask this. As a kid growing up, living in the middle of nowhere, Dad is doing all kinds of construction stuff. He had the toolbox on the back that, you know, you push the button and you flip it up on either side, whether that's driver's side or passenger side. And there was a tray in the middle. You could pull
slide
it one way or the
forth,
other
sure.
to get whatever you needed.
Yep.
But 9 times out of 10, whatever you needed was
in the middle.
Dead center underneath everything. toolboxes have come a long way since then.
Toolboxes have come a long way. Yes, we got toolboxes where the drawer comes out of the bottom so you don't even have to lift the top. Toolboxes have storage has been revolutionized in the last 10 to 15 years.
Awesome. Now one of the things I have seen, and I don't know if you guys do this or not, I have actually seen fairly recently where there's some kind of a kit, don't even remember exactly what it is, that you can put in the bed of the truck. And basically your from the bed to the top of the sides gets cut in half because they put the platform in there. But then there are drawers that pull straight out from the back. Is that
yes.
is that some of the stuff that you
yes.
guys will do?
Yes, we do all of that stuff. And the reason we do it is because we do some of that in those service vans. Because those guys, we can put those boxes in a service van. They can slide that drawer out for their tools, but they can still put a ladder inside if they need it. So
right,
we're everything truck.
it's perfect. It's perfect
yes.
out there.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about some of that custom equipment kind of stuff that you guys have done. I know you talked a little bit about the crane that you had put in the one to
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
help guys be able to lift this and that, but it really is. If there's a particular thing you need done,
yes,
you guys can actually do it. It's not like, okay, well, we bought this kit, and then we've got to buy this add-on and then that add-on.
No.
It's literally from step one.
It is. It is, and it's really cool. The greatest part about our team on the equipment side is we weld aluminum, which is really cool. So we fix some fuel tanks. We fix some beds because they're all mm-hmm. aluminum now. We've done some different stuff with aluminum, but we have the ability to weld aluminum, and we do anything steel. So the trick is it has to be steel. We don't do a lot of fiberglass. We don't do a lot of plastic. Our guys are really good at steel. We can cut steel, make steel, weld aluminum, cut aluminum. On the fabrication side, if it's metal, there pretty much isn't anything we may have turned a couple jobs down, but I can't even think of what those were right now. So we've built a lot of stuff.
Very cool. And even on that building side, you guys do something a little different that I know I haven't necessarily seen other folks in that fab side do. And I'm thinking particular on your flatbeds and the rails across the back glass. You guys do something a little different than most places with that.
Yes, it's we don't use flat steel. We used 2-inch square tubing turned on diamond, and it makes it very, very, very strong.
So
we're pretty proud of our GL line. Our GL line is a pretty amazing flatbed, and our custom GL line is those guys have put out some amazing work in custom hauling work. So building someone a custom hauler to fit their needs for what they're towing has been, those guys have come up with some cool stuff.
It's I always love being able to stop down at the equipment shop and you know, poke my head in the back and go, ooh, what kind of cool stuff are we working on today, guys?
Yes. Yeah, we're right now we're in the process of building, I think it's a, pretty sure it's a 24-footer flatbed for a service company. And that those are fun to watch being built. It's really cool to watch it's just cool to watch everything. So if you're in and around, you better stop in there because they're fixing to flip that baby over and get her done, and we'll head for powder coating. So
oh, I love it. I love it. Well, folks, we are up against that break in today's show. When we come back, we will continue talking with Greg Budwine over at Leadham's, and we'll be talking everything truck. So stick around. We will be right back.
Are you worried about what's been going on in the markets and how it has affected your portfolio? Maybe you need a financial checkup. If you have questions about the health of your financial future, call FRS Financial Group at 719-500-8700 to schedule your complimentary checkup. And remember to tune into Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group here on KRDO, Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday at noon. Products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Well, folks, thanks for sticking with us through that break. Rick Stevens here on Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group. We are talking to Greg Budwine over at Leadham's today. We're talking everything truck. Budwine, we're talking equipment.
We are.
And I know there's a whole lot of install that gets done.
There is.
But that's not the end
that
of equipment
not.
On a truck. That's kind of the beginning, isn't it?
Well, like our vehicles, that equipment needs maintenance too.
Yeah, yeah, and not, you know, necessarily just the spray a little, you know, spray lube on this or that, and it'll be fine. There's actually some pretty in-depth stuff that
yes,
we've got to get
is.
Done, right?
Yes. Yeah, the biggest thing for us that we see is lift gates on the backs of trucks do not get enough preventative maintenance, especially the more they can pick up. Those are run by chain and cables, and their tension is kept with chain and tables or cables. They have to be adjusted. They got to be lubed. They're hydraulic over electric, so the fluid needs to be changed just like you change the oil in your car. There's a lot of adjustments. There's a lot of things that can get out of whack because most people always load one side of a lift gate.
Right.
Because
right.
For whatever reason, yeah. That's the side they're on, and it's over by the switch, so that's the side
yeah.
They pick up. So they start going up crooked, which stretches those cables and chains. And most people use them till they're broke and and need repair, right?
Right, right.
Or they're rusting through.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of maintenance on lift gates that's not – it's not a big deal. It's a once or twice a year thing. But most lift gates we see have they've been run until they can't run no more, pretty much.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, some of that home maintenance that you don't think about often but really should do a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Lift gate, that's kind of like your garage door. You should kind of, you know, make sure that the bearings are working properly and things are lubed right and it's coming up the right travel distance and all that sort of stuff. The same thing happens on that lift gate.
Well, and the cool part, most bigger trucks with bigger lift gates have garage doors on them. So it's a great time to get the door serviced, get the lift gate serviced,
mm-hmm.
So the back of the truck can stay on the road too. Because just because the front of the truck makes it to a job site, if the door don't open or the lift gate don't work, you get to come home, right?
Yeah. It's kind of handy to be able to get into that truck.
Yes.
That
yes,
you've got all the stuff yes. in for doing the
And it's a real
work.
Overhead door, so it needs maintenance also. So the cool part about the equipment side is we're the truck guys, everything truck, right?
Right.
So we provide all that maintenance too. We provide maintenance on trailers, camp trailers, horse trailers, anything that you can think of, pretty much. I don't think there's a lot of things we say no to on the trailer side. Trailers have brakes.
Mm-hmm.
They have wheel bearings. The cool part about trailers is they still have wheel bearings that can be serviced, greased, and packed. And most people forget to do that.
Yeah.
Most people do a really good job. We're talking about going from spring to summer now. Most people do a really good job of making sure the tires are good before they leave.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do a very good job when the season's over to make sure everything's okay before they park it.
Yeah.
Season's over, we park it, and then it just sits there. And we, again, it's all about preventative maintenance, and twice a year saves a guy a lot of headache that's pulling a trailer.
Yeah, yeah, and not just with the trailer, but also how we've attached the trailer.
How we've attached the trailer.
Just because I can you know, slide that little hitch in on my bumper, that doesn't mean there's nothing that even that needs maintained.
You would be amazed, Rick, how many flatbeds, hitches, utility bodies we install. And once we're done, we say, hey, listen, we're done with it. But in 120 days, 180 days, you need to bring it back. We'll tighten everything. We'll make sure everything works, lube everything. You cannot imagine how many people do not come back. And it's a free service if we install it for you. And the key is all of those bolts get loose. Those hitches are getting pounded on constantly all the time. If you got a utility body, those things are getting racked and stacked all the time. They're getting full of tools. Mm-hmm. Latches break. They don't get oiled up like they should, so they close and the handles work good. I mean, there's a lot of little, and it all sounds pretty minor because it's not really that big a deal until you're on a job site and you can't close the door on the toolbox.
Right.
Right?
Right. So what you're telling me is I should probably be getting some maintenance, preventative maintenance done on that rather than, well, now the latch won't close, so I'm going to run over to Home Depot, get one of those, exterior gate latches and try to make it work that
yes,
way, right?
Or duct tape.
Duct tape fixes everything. Gorilla tape.
Gorilla tape. Yeah, Gorilla tape fixes everything. Yeah, it's important. You know, toolboxes aren't that big a deal if you're putting them in the bed of the truck, but, you know, we're on our transfer flow fuel tanks, those kind of things that we do, those accessories. Running boards that are electric, they need to be cleaned and lubed because any time you have a truck with running boards, most of the time it does not stay on the pavement. So those things need to be cleaned and lubed. So when you open the door, the thing can actually come out. There's just a lot of little things on the equipment and accessory side that maintenance is pretty important. And it's big, but it's little dollars.
Yeah.
It's a big deal, but it's little dollars in the long run. So
yeah, and you know, I've always been told if it moves, you need to make sure that it will move smoothly.
Yes.
And even on some of those toolboxes, maybe if some of the folks have those toolboxes that run the entire side of the truck, they need to make sure that those struts on there are helping you to open it and keep it closed,
yes,
right?
Yes. And hinges. Hinges. Mm-hmm. There are very few toolboxes where the hinges are taken care of. And in our climate, we have to take care
yes,
of hinges. So
yes.
It's
and if you get rusted out, then, you know, you can't open it.
That's right.
So you got to take care of the hinges.
Or you can't close it.
Or you can't close it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can always get in. It's that whole, there's stuff in there I'd kind of like somebody to not be able to get into.
Yes. True. Yes, exactly.
So what are a couple of those other things on that equipment maintenance side? You know, I see folks all the time that, you know, they've got their off-road vehicles, so they've got the winch on the front. That's definitely something you want to get serviced and made sure is working.
Yep.
What are some of those other pieces that folks may not always have come to mind when they think, okay, I need to get my vehicle with these pieces of equipment ready for the summer?
Well, the best thing for me to describe, best way for me to describe that today is I think it's important that you first understand what's on your truck, whether it's a winch or lights or a lift gate. The other biggest part of equipment maintenance is most of that stuff is all run by batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's electric over hydraulic or if it's all hydraulic by a PTO, there's generally a switch that turns that on. And what most people miss on the equipment side is just checking the batteries and not checking the batteries. I say that with quotes, but actually looking for corrosion to make sure the cables aren't falling off or they're not getting big from corrosion and actually cleaning the battery, because that moves us right into what we do with all vehicles. You got to make sure we have a good battery connection, right? But
right.
In equipment, batteries really affect how the equipment operates if there's any electrical involved, whether it's a lift gate, whether it's a crane, whether it's a snowplow, whether it's a winch, whether it's lights, all of that stuff matters. And just cleaning the battery cables makes a huge difference in how that equipment performs.
And what about the fuse? I mean, the fuse nowadays, is that a big deal as much as it was in the past?
Well, the fuse is there to protect the circuit. Mm-hmm. So if batteries are corroded, they'll generally blow fuses.
Okay.
Because the amperage goes up, and that's what causes fuses to
blow. Right.
There's, in today's world, cleaning fuses is a thing of the past. We don't.
Oh, you just replace.
There's no such thing anymore.
Yeah.
A new F-350 pickup truck today, I think we counted, there's 179 fuses in that.
Wow.
Ooh,
wow.
But I tell everyone, you're driving your home computer, mm-hmm. and if anyone's taken a computer apart and seen all of the electrical equipment that keeps it from hurting itself,
yeah.
that now is in our vehicles.
Wow.
So there is, and they're little tiny. They've made them really small, right? So
right.
as soon as... What happens today, as soon as a module sees a problem, it usually shuts the circuit off
mm-hmm.
that doesn't even affect the fuse circuit.
Because right.
by the time it affects the fuse, it's too late.
And it's a good idea to keep like spares of fuse because you don't know when it goes out.
Yes.
And then if you're going to be towing something, I mean, sometimes that's going to affect the blinkers and everything.
Oh, it can affect everything. Yeah. And in today's truck, it was it's pretty funny you mentioned that because... I got to drive a moving truck, which was a 26-foot freight liner from here to Tampa Bay, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the truck was new enough. It had a lane departure thing in it so that it beeped at you if you
right.
got out of your lane. And I like driving big trucks. I like hugging the right side of the road. And that thing was constantly beeping at me.
Wow.
And so I drove it for about 4 hours, and every 30 minutes I had to turn it off. Well, when we got to the next place I could pull over.
You pulled the fluke fuse?
I pulled the fuse.
Take care of that problem right now.
Don't tell no one. Oh, wait, I already did. But my point to that story is that's how vehicles have just evolved and turned into, we're driving our home computer.
Yeah.
And don't even realize it. And that same truck today, I think, has 42 different modules in it.
Wow.
So, ooh. I mean, we're driving pretty state-of-the-art stuff down the road and making things happen.
Yeah.
So the key, we're back to the batteries, but mm-hmm. the key is clean batteries in summer and winter are huge. It extends the life of the battery, but it also extends the life of whatever it's running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whether that be the blower motor in your car, whether that be the lift gate that's running on the truck, whether that be lights that you're running, the less corrosion and the cleaner we can keep our batteries, the better. And I preach that all the time. There's all the time. And I don't care if it's a snowmobile, a side-by-side. Again, it doesn't matter. If there's a battery involved, that stuff has to stay clean.
And cleaning it, just put some Coca-Cola on the top of the terminals. You got it all cleaned up. It's all ready to go.
We all laugh at that, but I still do that.
I know.
I mean, still do it today.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt anything.
No, and while I'm pouring it on there, I go,
you
imagine
take a sip.
If I was drinking this.
Yes, I know. And that's going in your gut. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Yes.
Kind of sticking here a little bit on that battery side of things. I was having a discussion with one of my colleagues a few weeks ago, and he had his camper in trying to figure out what's the issue. We can't find anything. And he said, would you believe we actually have batteries you still have to put water in?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Because he had no idea mm-hmm. that the battery for his camper needed water.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
because, you know, yes. we haven't needed water in them in the vehicles in a long time.
Yes, yes. Well, that's back to old school because, again, we're going to have a little lesson here. Just bear with me. But if you can keep the water full in a battery, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you can service it,
mm-hmm.
and you can create preventative maintenance, that battery will go 3 times as long as a battery that you can't service. Unless you don't service it.
Right.
Right. You got to service it.
And most of the time in a camper, in a side-by-side, in a boat, in a anything RV related, most all of those batteries are still serviceable because they last longer being able to be
right.
serviced.
Yeah. So kind of taking that service side of things, as we are coming out, I think, of winter, although I may snow tomorrow.
Yes.
We'll see. It is the front range in April.
It is the front range.
There are different things that I think as we are using our vehicles a little bit differently over the summer, coming out of the winter, that we need to do. And you can go online and find all the different checklists of this, that, and the other.
Yes.
But one of the things that I have seen on those checklists that pays no attention to a schedule per se is the, hey, change your oil. Is there a difference between summer and winter oil, or is it just, well, you've probably driven enough miles, you should get an oil change?
Okay, here we go back to physics
class. And I've only got like 15 minutes left.
Right,
so.
Right. Here we go. So I'm sure you guys have heard of 5W30.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You've heard of 10W30.
Yes.
You've heard of 15W40.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suppose the W stands for?
I have an idea.
Wait.
I'm going to wait for it.
W stands for winter.
Oh.
And the winter, that is a 10 weight winter oil. And when that oil gets hot, it turns into a 30 weight.
Oh.
Okay.
So if the engine's hot because it's
if
hot.
If the engine's hot, it's a 30 weight oil. If it's cold when it starts, it's a 10 weight oil, which makes the viscosity of the oil lower.
Yep.
So it's easier to start the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's better on fuel economy, right?
Right.
And I don't know if you've noticed, if you've paid attention, but new cars today generally take 0-20,
mm-hmm.
which is like putting water in an engine.
Wow.
Because zero means there's no viscosity, and in the winter it means there's 20.
Okay. Interesting. And then the full synthetic part of, like my car takes a full synthetic.
Okay.
Can't put anything other than that.
Okay.
Full synthetics, I mean, what's the difference between regular oil and a full synthetic?
That's really easy and really complicated all at the same time. The great part is a synthetic oil is not petroleum-based.
Okay.
That's why they call it synthetic. That's number one. Number two, depending on the synthetic, you can drive them longer between oil changes because they do a lot better job of keeping things clean and keeping things lubricated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in today's cars, they've made the clearances so small inside, internally in the engine, it doesn't take a lot of viscosity like it did in my dad's 1976 Bronco.
Yeah.
Because the clearance was so much, the oil had to make up the difference. Right. So as long as they get a thin film on there, and oil has come a long way also. Mm. I mean, much like our trucks have come a long ways and our technology's come a long ways, oil's come a long ways. Also.
So is the price. I mean, it used to be you could get a core, like any amount of oil, you know, $1.99 sometimes oh my goodness, $10 now in most cases for full synthetic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
So one of the other things I see on checklists a lot are to make sure your tires are properly inflated. And I know we've talked about this on other shows before, but there are two different numbers that you can look at that will tell you about PSI.
Yes.
One of them is real. One of them is not. Well, sort of.
No, they're both real.
Technically both real.
They're both real.
One of them is on the side of the tire.
Yes.
But the important one is inside the door.
That is correct. Okay. Yeah, and the reason that is the one that's on the tire is the max pressure you can put in that tire. So if you look at most truck tires today, max pressure's 80 PSI. If you look in the door sticker, the engineers have decided that that thing runs best, gets the best of fuel economy for where it's at and what it's doing. And I'm just throwing a number out here, but I'll say 65. Okay. So the door sticker is based on what the manufacturer believes those tires should be. The tire manufacturer tells you don't go over 80 when you fill this tire.
And which is it calculated to on the gauge? Like if you're, you know, that little, the light that comes on,
it's calculated to the door.
To the door. Okay.
Which is why we have so many tire lights on.
Okay.
I mean, everything that comes in my lot's got a tire light on.
Right.
Well, if you're a trailer guy and you do a lot of towing.
Right.
Guess where my tires are? At max.
Yeah.
Because I'm towing.
Right.
Well.
It's going to set that off.
It could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Yep, or like the Monte Carlo that I brought in on Monday that has the tire light on is because it's got a bad sensor in one of the tires.
Oh, yes.
Not
yes.
because any of the tires are low.
No.
It's, hey, talk back to the safety features, yes. right? Hey, there's a bad sensor.
Yep.
That's probably
the other side. And
probably
the other,
a fuse issue.
Yeah, the other side of that coin on the tires also, if you look at that door sticker, especially on trucks. Cars, a little bit. SUVs, you'll see it quite a bit. But the fronts are different than the rears.
Yes.
Oh,
if you look at your door sticker, when you look at tire pressure, it'll tell you front and it'll tell you rear.
Okay.
And it's because they have to do that legally, quotation marks again. But the engineers have decided what it takes to take that vehicle down the road safely, get the best fuel economy for the tire size that's okay. on the vehicle.
Awesome. Now, one of those other summer maintenance things that we haven't needed necessarily yet, but we're coming to summer, is the AC. Mm-hmm. Always a good thing to have that AC checked. I know we don't necessarily use the same old Freon that we did when you and I were growing up, but there's still coolant that needs to be in there, the refrigerant. So what kind of goes into making sure that the AC works right?
Well, I'm going to give you guys an example today because most people don't know this, but in vehicles that are newer than 10 years old, maybe 15, the AC comes on every time you put it on defrost.
Right.
So everybody believes that they're not using their AC in the winter, and we are.
And you can feel mm-hmm. it.
And the reason that is because back in the old days when we didn't use AC, then when summer got here, everything was locked up.
Right.
Right.
And then you're in the repair shop trying to figure out how to get a clutch and a compressor, mm-hmm. and blah, 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 blah. So what the engineers did is every time you turn it on defrost, the AC's running, so it's circulating that fluid. So I tell people to service the AC twice a year. Most people call me crazy, but if you service it now's mm-hmm. and it is April Car Care Wear Month. If you service the AC now and you also service the air conditioner in October, you have a whole lot less problems with it.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's good advice.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Awesome. So now one of those other things, and I know we hit this pretty much every time you're in here. Because, again, 30 years of vehicle ownership, flipping up the hood from 30 years ago on my 78 Monte Carlo is a whole lot different than flipping up the hood on the 2014 F-150.
Yes.
But if it's yellow, I can touch it, right?
If it's yellow, that's the whole thing. Can check it. Yes. If it's yellow under the hood, that is something you need to check every time you fill up.
So
that's great advice.
I'm checking my oil level. I can actually take a look to see that, you know, the transmission has
I will tell you in the last 5 years there are many vehicles that only have one or two yellow things on them now. Because some vehicles don't even have a dipstick in the transmission mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. some vehicles don't even have a dipstick in the oil.
Yeah.
So based on what year it is and who built it, they're all going that way because now we're going to drive them for 100,000 miles and then we're going to throw them away. So why would you ever want to check the oil, right?
And some vehicles have the battery in the back instead of the front.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
You got to know where your battery is.
Yes, yep, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I actually lifted the hood on my wife's 2022 VW Atlas. Oh, and I'm pretty sure the only thing yellow was where it said wiper fluid.
That could be the case.
Pretty sure that was the only yellow thing under there.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So one of those other checklist pieces that kind of came out in a number of places was taking a look at your wiper blades, mm-hmm. right? Making sure that those are working. Is there a set schedule that, you know, summer and winter, or are there certain things that you might need to kind of look at as it's raining to be able to go, okay, I think I need new blades?
Right. I think the key is, and I treat wiper blades different than the whole world because I drive a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Greg Budwine's opinion. You won't see this in any manual, but I think you should replace your wiper blades every 3 months.
Okay.
And the reason is because in the climate we live in, it can be 29 today. And it can be 60 tomorrow, which I think we're fixing to see this
yes.
weekend.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Because it's nice today, right? Yeah. So the sun's beating on our wiper blades. Tomorrow, it's going to be
in the 50s.
Right? And yeah. Saturday, it's going to even drop further.
Yeah.
And we ride that roller coaster for a couple of months. And then when summer gets here, the sun beats on them all day long on a hot windshield, right? And so I've just, this again,
This is you.
This is Greg Budwine's opinion only, okay. But I think you ought to put wiper blades on every 3 months.
Okay.
And it does two things. One is it keeps the windshield cleaner,
mm-hmm.
number one. And number two is if you time it correctly, you're putting wiper blades on twice in our winter.
Right.
When wiper blades really get the heck
yes.
out of them.
Because
we're trying to get the snow and the ice and the... off the windshield.
Or when the windshield's frozen and you try to turn on the windshield wiper and it just sort of doesn't move, you know, and then it rips off the upper layer of the blade.
Yes, exactly. So,
and I've got to say, having moved out here, whatever it is now, 16, 17 years ago, from living my entire life in Illinois, the wonderful thing about wiper blades out here is I don't have to worry about them wiping the bugs off the windshield.
Correct.
The wiper blades out here keep my windshield clean.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That
those
is
those Miller moths, those yellow moths. Oh
yes.
My goodness.
Yes. Yes.
So one last kind of little piece here on that maintenance side before we wrap up today, and that's looking at tires. How do I know if I might need to be having some new tires put on? Because I know every tire comes with a, you know, X thousand mile warranty, whatever, and roadside this, that, and the other. But I got to tell you, Budwine, I don't think I've ever gotten the full mileage out of a tire that it says I should.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that might be how much I drive and where I drive and whether or not I need an alignment and mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff, right?
Yes, yeah, that's true. The key is if you're younger, I apologize, but we all know the nickel trick, right?
For yes.
I hope everyone knows. If you don't, you put a nickel in the tire at the tread at the lowest point, and if it's below his head, you got to replace the tires. That's an easy one.
Right.
We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
What most people don't realize is there's a date code on every tire built, and tire manufacturers will tell you after 5 years, tires are no good because not because of the tread. Just because of the rubber.
You're right.
And it's mm-hmm. even worse because of where we live.
Yeah.
Because just like wiper blades.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We get the cold and the hot and the cold and the sun and the rain and the hot and the cold and the... We're always in... We live in the Rocky Mountains, right?
Right.
So the key for us is our team does a really good job of not just checking the tread, but also checking the date code on the tires. Because even if you don't drive a car a lot and you put 10 or 12,000 miles on a car in a year... In 4 years, that car probably really needs tires,
mm-hmm.
but the tread is still good.
Right.
So tires last longer if they're rotated.
Right.
In preventative maintenance. That's number one. Number two, the air pressure on the door sticker will make the tires last longer. And number three is you got to check the date code on the tire. Pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Awesome. So as we're kind of wrapping up here today, anything in particular that we didn't get to kind of touch on that you think the listeners need to know a little bit more about?
Well, I think the big deal is for us at Leadham's, we just became the North Star dealer for North Star. So we have their flatbeds, their utility bodies. It's a new product to us. I think it's going to go a long ways. I think it does really good. It's a really good product, well manufactured, well built. We have some on the ground. They showed up. We're ready to install them. So I think the only thing we didn't talk about is that.
Yeah.
We got some new equipment. We got a new vendor, which we're ecstatic about. We're ready to put some stuff on. So if you need a flatbed, if you need a utility body, we're the guys. And the great part is they allowed us to do it even though we're manufacturing our own flatbeds. So we still have our GL line.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just partnered with North Star. So I think it's going to be a pretty good endeavor, and I think it's going to be successful for everyone because not everyone needs a GL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And for those that don't, we can hook them up with a good product, quality product, and we have it on the ground so we can install it and you can be on your way.
Awesome. And that's kind of one of those little pieces in there as well. I know that you guys, again, going over the variety of vendors and manufacturers and the different folks that you will get the equipment in from to install, you're not just going with the cheap, really quick, hey, yeah, I can get that here tomorrow. You guys have actually done your homework on
What is the good stuff? How, what are we going to be able to put on that's going to last a while, especially if you're taking care of it?
And that doesn't matter what we do, just so everyone knows. It doesn't matter if it's oil. It doesn't matter if it's a flatbed. It doesn't matter if it's a piece of equipment. It doesn't matter if we're putting injectors in your diesel. Our team does a really good job because, A, we have to stand behind it. And it's hard to stand behind junk.
Yeah.
It's just hard to do. And there's a lot of it.
Yes.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of junk out there. So we're here to please. We're here to take care of you. And you can find us. We got some cool pictures on Leadhams.com. If you Google us, you can Google Leadhams Repair or Leadhams Equipment. See some of the cool trucks we built. Mm-hmm. See repairs that we
do. Some really awesome videos on there.
There's some really awesome videos on there. Yes.
Excellent.
Our team did a great job with that. So,
And I'm going to, because we'll be on the air Saturday and Sunday this weekend. Next weekend, not necessarily associated with Leadhams, but...
Oh, I know it's associated with
Leadhams. Well, yeah. I know you're part of the Pikes Peak Range Riders.
Yes.
Range Riders have a little thing coming up. You want to give a quick shout-out for that?
Yeah, I'll give a quick shout-out. Our Pikes Peak Range Riders owns and operates Latigo, which is our foundation out east, and they're having a fundraiser next weekend, like you said, not this weekend, but the 27th, and that allows every kid in El Paso County and some other states to be horseback. We have a facility out there for kids, designed for kids, specific for kids, to be horseback, and it's our annual fundraiser. And it's going to be the cool part is it's going to be really fun. We're going to serve everyone dinner, and then we're going to dance in the dirt because that's what we do.
Yeah, so, excellent.
Love it.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a good time. So if any, you can go to @latigo.com. and purchase your tickets and join us on Saturday, and you might run into me.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I will be there, so I know I will run into you.
Yeah, you'll run into me.
On that. Well, folks, that is all the time we've got for this week on Money Matters. If you've got any questions about anything that you heard about today, obviously you can go check out the folks over at Leadhams, or if you're not sure where to go, feel free to reach out to me. I can get you connected over there as well. Folks, we will be back again next week. We will continue to talk about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.